So welcome to the Commons podcast number 5. I am directly from the iCommons Summit 2007 in Dubrovnik. With me is Henrik Molke, and Henrik Molke presented yesterday the documentary Good Copy, Bad Copy. And before we start talking about the movie, please say something about your background.
My background, I am a freelance journalist, and for a couple of years I've been doing radio documentaries. And about 2 years ago, we started trying to get funding and try to find a place where we could make a documentary about copyright and these issues, because we felt there were a few documentaries out there, but we wanted to make one which was more accessible and more kind of easygoing in the style. And we managed, after a long time, I have to say it was pretty difficult to convince the national broadcaster in Denmark, for whom I normally work as a freelance journalist, to make a theme night about the subject. And so we started working on it actually already 2 years ago. And that theme night was then broadcast 2 weeks ago. And that's it.
So what exactly is the issue of Good Copy, Bad Copy? What is the movie all about?
Well, it's about copyright, but also trying to group all the different things, which is impossible because it's such a big issue. Like, it touches so many different aspects of everyday life and also thoughts. So we tried to group everything that has to do with copyright, but of course we missed out on a lot of things. But it's mainly about sampling, music sampling, about piracy, whether piracy is, plain good or plain bad. We've had a feeling that this discussion in the media has been very black and white, and we wanted to try and kind of maybe make a bit of satire over that as well, because it's, the good cop, bad cop thing is like, we're tired of people looking at things with one eye, and everybody's looking with one eye, and nobody starts to look at the broader picture. So we wanted to try and get that also globally in the film.
So who is appearing in the movie?
There's many people in the movie. We have some musicians, Girl Talk, who's a remix artist. We have Danger Mouse, who is now pretty famous as one part of Granollers Barkley. Then there's a lot of lawyers, some prominent ones, some less prominent ones. Larry Lessig is one of them. Ronaldo Lemos is another one. There's some people from the Motion Picture Association, their CEO and chairman, Dan Glickman. There's the head and chairman of IFPI. And there's lots of people from all over the world. But half of the film is about Nigeria and Brazil. And there's a lot of people that I think most people who even have a vested interest in this discussion haven't seen before. And that's also what we wanted to do, and try and contribute with something new, not just an overview, but also something new.
Okay, so when we talk about Nigeria and copyright, what is special about copyright in Nigeria, or why did you went there to interview people in Nigeria and talk with them about copyright issues?
I have to say, I didn't actually personally go to Nigeria. My co-director, Andreas, went there. But the reason why we chose to look at Nigeria was that we had heard the story about the Nigerian film industry, Nollywood, from Ronaldo Lemos. And he has a theory about why they have a completely different take on piracy there, because until recently, apparently, they didn't have a copyright law. I think they actually did, but it was not enforced, and it was not really, nobody respected it, because it wasn't, like many countries, they have to have a copyright law to be a member of WIPO and to be a member of WTO, but the respect and presence of copyright there was none. So they have a movie industry which is based basically on piracy, in the sense that everybody copies the film the second it's out, and it's just a matter of getting it out to as many people as possible. And 2 weeks later you have a new film. Everything is digital. They produce a film in 1 to 2 weeks. It's very low production quality compared to Hollywood, but it's a very different and alternative distribution system, which was interesting for us, because we're used to hearing about how piracy hurts the music and video industry. But in Nigeria, it doesn't hurt it. It actually works as an integrated part of the distribution chain. So we thought that was interesting. We're not saying that Hollywood needs to go the same way as Nollywood, but we're saying that maybe if we start to think about things in a different way, people can move out of the deadlocks and trenches that they've been buried in for so long.
So one of the lawyers in the documentary, he said something like, well, piracy is really bad and we need strong copyright because that is the only source of compensation for artists. Mm-hmm. So, and you had a lot of expenses for the movie as well, and you decided to give it away for free on the internet. So why the hell did you do this?
It was actually difficult to do. Like, it was screened in Denmark on May 29th, and we kind of knew that the next day, we hoped even that people would have pirated it off the TV signal and put it up online. And I thought, that's going to happen anyway, so we might as well release it ourselves and put it up on the Pirate Bay. So we did that, and we were really busy and really tired from working for a long period, but we just managed to do that, and then, you know, we just wanted to see what happened. But we also did it, of course, to walk the talk. But I have to admit, it was kind of strange after working so long and so intensively to just put it up there and know that people were going to start downloading it and not give us money. So we thought, okay, we put a text document with the file that says, you know, here, list the credits, and then if people wanted to, they could donate on our website. And we've been fairly discreet about it. We haven't put any signs in the film or anything like that. We just left the film the way it was. It was kind of a leap of faith, but I have to say it's not really working out that well at the moment. I think we got like 100 euros of donations so far. But on the other hand, a lot of people have seen the film and it's spreading, and you're doing this interview now and people are blogging about it, and that's great. But I
sorry, do you have download numbers so far?
We can, because we put it up on Pirate Bay and the next day about 200 people had downloaded it, but it was already out on other trackers. So I can kind of see which trackers it's on, but I see new ones every time. Like if you do a Google on Good Copy, Bad Copy now, there's a lot of hits, and I have no idea. I think a modest guess would be maybe 10,000, but it's only been out there for a bit more than a week. But we get all these emails from people who like the film and people blog about it. And I just, from a feeling and from knowing these things for a long time, I have a feeling it's being copied a lot and being downloaded a lot. But we can't, you know, really say how many people downloaded it. Also because we don't have any direct download links. And some people have written to me that they were tired of waiting for BitTorrent to, you know, feed it to them. So they made direct links and all kinds of different, you know, rapid share, and I don't know what the name of all these services are. And we don't have any way of overseeing what's going on. But the good thing is that it's our copy, the good copy that got out first, that's also being copied. And that tells people who did this, and you know, if they want to, they can donate. And I don't know, maybe later it'll pick up. And also we're hoping for other broadcasters to broadcast it and in that way give us some money. But right now we have a pretty poor budget, in the sense that the national broadcaster in Denmark paid, I would say, about 1/4 of the costs, and now we're trying to get some of it back. But you know, it has a long lifespan, so I think I'm happy if we just make half of it back, because I had fun while doing it and I had other work, so I'm not starving or anything. But it feels strange to just put it out there for free. And a lot of people stress the fact that it's free, but, you know, free in the sense that you don't pay for it, and that's the good thing. But we want it to be free so that people can use it, but we also want to make money. So it's not just free as in free beer, it's free as in freedom. But I think most people kind of miss that point so far.
Do you have a master plan? What would be a good way in order to compensate filmmakers or musicians or authors, you name it, when they, you know, decide to use the internet to distribute their works? Like, do you have any master plan apart from the classic copyright issue, or the classic copyright strategy?
I think if I had a plan like that, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be making a film. I think I would be making tons of money, because that's what I think a lot of people want to use the internet more and want to give more away. I have a feeling that a lot of artists, at least the ones I know, are really eager to do things about it, but they're afraid that it means either completely free and you know, spreading on the internet, or, you know, the boring old "you can't have my stuff, you can't see my things" model. And a lot of people are ready to jump into the other thing, as long as they can make, you know, I think there's a myth that all people who create things want to be rich and famous, and I think it's only a small percentage. And I think there's a huge potential now for example, the people who have donated to the film, I think most of them are actually free software programmers that know this way of doing things, that you make something, you put it out there for free, and then people who like it donate. It's a thing that demands, you know, some, it takes you a bit of time to donate, and you're not used to it. And I think maybe more people will get used to that model, but there's also like tons of other things we can do. We just haven't done them yet. Like, you can sell it on Google Video. If you're a big broadcaster, we couldn't do that, but we're trying to figure out how to do it now. So you can see the low-res version, and then you can buy the high-res. Mm-hmm. There's advertising services, but we don't really like advertising in front and after the movie. I don't like that. But maybe we'll go and get into that. And there's like many things you can do, but we don't have like a master plan. This is also like an experiment for us. Mm-hmm. And we thought with this subject of the film, we couldn't just, you know, sit back and claim all rights reserved and like wait for a film festival to discover it in a year from now.
I was wondering, you said that the public broadcasting service in Denmark paid a part of the costs and they also screened it, right?
Yeah.
And normally they always want to have the exclusive rights, so which means it's not possible to put the film afterwards on the internet. So how did you convince them to do this?
Well, that's very easy. We own the copyright of the film and we just sold them the screening rights. That was we knew from the beginning that if they were in any part of the production, they would have to claim. That's the way it works, their legal framework, that, you know, if just one cameraman is in there, you know, he has the moral rights, and, you know, there's tons of things that does that their system is incompatible with the free distribution system on the internet. So we just produced everything outside and just sold them the first showing, and that's it.
Okay.
So that's also why we didn't get, you know, a lot of money, but we had the freedom to do it in the way that we wanted to do it. And they were nice to us in giving us a fair contract, which was really great.
You also had members of the Technobrigger scene in the movie. And could you please explain what that is and what is their special dealing with copyrights and how they, you know, treat musicians and rights?
Well, they use the same business model as the Nollywood film industry does just in music, that you have artists who produce music and give it to street vendors who then replicate it and give it to people at a very low cost. But their big thing is that they have these huge parties where people go to listen to the DJs that play their music. And the musicians, I think the weak link in that system, which we didn't really get into that well, is that the big stars are the DJs and not the musicians, which is also why some people would argue that the music isn't very creative or, you know, it's not complex, you know, high culture. It's very, you know, simple and folksy, but it's great. I think it's very funny. But the way it works is that the musician gives the music away to street vendors and they then sell it, and then the musicians get their money back from becoming famous, from being played at the parties, and then they have gigs themselves where they play for tons of people. But
I'm sorry, and they make money because there's an entrance fee to the parties, or how is that working?
There's an entrance fee to the party and people drink lots of beer, and that's how they
make a good
money.
Business model, I would say, that always works.
That money goes into the pockets of the organizers of the parties and the sound system owners. So actually, I should correct what I said before. The people who make a lot of money in that business are the people who own the sound systems, and they're huge. It's like a techno god. It's like a huge, you wouldn't imagine. It's really impressive. Like, I've never seen a setup that big. Like, big screens, lasers, smoke cannons, live TV feeds up on the screens, like tons of really sophisticated technical things. And the people who put up the money for those sound systems get the money back from the concerts. But I'm sure that there's also all kinds of little negotiations and money going back and forth between the artists. Also, a song can be made in many different versions. So we saw, for example, when Lula was in town for the elections, was when we were there, another local politician had hired a sound system to to make a new recording of the most popular. There's like the hit of the month every month, and that song then changes from each sound system. They have their own version of it, a bit like the rhythm culture in reggae. So the local politician had his own version made about himself and about how great he was, and, you know, and invited all the poor people from all the poor favelas into the furthest away from Lula to a sound system party where they could then hear all the songs about him. So he pays the artist, for example, to make a new version of the same song. But nobody claims copyright to the song. So if I make a song, the other guy can just do a re-recording of it, and nobody will give, you know, nobody will care about that.
And the artists themselves, they take music of others and then work on it, right?
Yeah, a lot of the songs are based on hits from the West that they download or, you know, get on CDs, and then they produce their own version, or they remix it, or they do something that sounds a bit like it. I heard these really funny remakes of Bryan Adams, and they're played all over. Like, wherever you walk, there's a speaker, and you hear all these songs that you kind of recognize, but then they have these cheesy drums and 80s synthesizers on them. It's really funny.
It's cheesy music. Yeah. I liked it. Okay, thank you very much so far for all the information, and good luck with your movie. So how is the internet address? Where can I find and download Good Copy, Bad Copy?
Right now there's a website called goodcopybadcopy.net where you can find a link to where you can download it off BitTorrent, but there's tons of other places you'll find it on various BitTorrent trackers. But as soon as we get the time and after a bit of vacation, we'll make more formats, and we also have started to put some of the full interviews up on goodcopybadcopyblip.blip.tv, which is a Blip TV blog where we put the videos up for other people to reuse. And we made public yesterday that the film is licensed under Creative Commons license, so for non-commercial purposes anyone can take parts and sections of it, and also the full interviews, and reuse them for other projects. And if they want to use it for commercial purposes, we might agree to that too, but they just have to ask us first.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.